time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. So it is time for Abandoned Manitoba, as it usually is at this time every Sunday, but we're doing things a little differently today. Less about buildings, more about people, less abandoned, more about celebrating. Gordon Goldsborough is here to tell us more. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this morning?
Back in January, I described an award program that's presented annually by the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba, basically recognizing good work that people around the province have done, promoting and preserving our history. And so I thought, well, maybe we should just talk about the people who received the award this year, because they were presented about 3 weeks ago.
Amazing. Okay, so what is the purpose of these awards?
The idea is to acknowledge people who have been doing good work over a prolonged period, usually, you know, quite a few years. And there's various things that they could be doing in their community. They could be doing historical research. They could be publishing books or other publications. They could be developing and operating museums. And there's hosts of other things. It's been impressive over the years to see the diversity of things that people are doing. Most of them are doing it as unpaid volunteers. There's sometimes cases where a professional who has kind of gone above and beyond the call of duty, they receive an award. But by and large, most of these people are doing it because they are passionate about Manitoba's past.
How many nominations do you get?
Typically, in the 9 year history of this award program, there's about 20. But for whatever reason, this current year, we had a record 32 nominations, many more than normal.
Who are these people? Like, what's the range, the demographics of the people who are nominated?
Well, it's fairly evenly split between men and women. This year, for example, there were an even number of men and women. But the interesting thing about it is that it's very definitely skewed rural. You know, so for example, this year, 60% of the nominations came from outside of Winnipeg. And I've always kind of wondered why this is. And I think it's because in rural Manitoba, you tend to know your neighbors better. You know, you know the kind of good work they're doing, and you're more willing perhaps to nominate them to be awarded for this, you know, this good work.
It's really interesting. Okay, without further ado, who were the people who received the award?
Okay, we'll put them in alphabetical order. So the first one then is Mr. Barry Bills of Brandon. He's was a longtime history teacher and English teacher at Portage Collegiate in Portage La Prairie. But he was maybe most noteworthy in the context of this award as the chair of the Portage La Prairie Heritage Advisory Committee. For over 20 years, he did that. And the committee did all kinds of work under his direction. So, for example, they did an inventory of heritage homes, an inventory of heritage businesses around the city. They advocated even on behalf of a municipal bylaw to preserve heritage spaces in Portage. They advocated to name city streets after noteworthy people. So a lot of good work in there. He was also involved with a group called Portage La Prairie Heritage Inc., and they tried to, for example, purchase the home of Arthur Meehan, Manitoba's only Prime Minister of Canada, who at one time resided in Portage. He was active in the Save the CP Rail Station project, and in fact, it opened just last fall. He was an archivist for the Portage La Prairie Library, and he wrote a book on Portage Collegiate. So a lot of good work over a prolonged period of time in Portage.
Sounds well-deserved for Mr. Barry Bills. Okay, who's next?
Number two is Mr. Jim Blanchard of Winnipeg. And many of us know him as a reference librarian. He worked for many years at the University of Manitoba. Previous to that, he worked at the Canadian Grain Commission. But I think where many of us know him is as the author of a series of books on the history of early Winnipeg. So, for example, he wrote a book called Winnipeg 1912, about the city just as it was verging on the First World War, sort of a period of great prosperity in the city. His later book was about Winnipeg in the war period during the First World War. And then he's got a book coming out this fall on Winnipeg in the 1920s. So, and they're really well-researched, but they're also fun. They're written from a very approachable way. Anyone can read these books and enjoy them.
Excellent.
But in addition to that, he's written chapters in books. He's written numerous magazine articles, journal articles, newspaper columns, book reviews. you know, a very literate man. But he's also been available, active with the Manitoba Historical Society, and I think that's the context in which I first met him. You know, so he has been the chair of a awards committee for the Historical Society. He was the president of the Historical Society for a term, and the chair of the museum that the Historical Society operated. And then most recently, he's been a public advocate for the reopening of the City of Winnipeg archives in the former Carnegie Library on William Avenue. And of course, we've talked about that building in this series before.
And we also have the first of two women who received this award.
That's right. Number three is Ms. Diane Dubay of Saint-Georges, and she's effectively the driving force of the Saint-Georges Museum. Since 2008, she was its curator. And what was most significant, I think, is that in 2014, the museum suffered a devastating arson fire. And, you know, it might have just led to the museum closing if not for Diane. She was dogged in both preserving and trying to salvage as much of the collections of the damaged museum as possible, but then later to help fundraise and coordinate the rebuilding. So in fact, they've got a magnificent facility. It's now named the Winnipeg River Museum, and it's largely thanks to her volunteer efforts. She's been involved in a whole lot of other volunteer activities. Many people in that area know Diane for all of her involvement in the community. But I think in this context, she's been absolutely the driving force in the restoration of the Saint-Georges Museum.
And there's a winner for another museum as the next recipient.
Right. The fourth award went to Dr. Marilyn McKay Hussain of Selkirk. Now, she was a long-term volunteer with the Costume Museum of Canada, of course, which has a wonderful collection of old clothing. And at one time, it was located at Dugald, Manitoba, and many of us would drive to Dugald to have a look at it. A wonderful facility. They moved the facility to Winnipeg and unfortunately fell on hard times. And in fact, many of us worried that at one point they were going to close altogether and that would be the end of things. Fortunately, Dr. McKay Hussain took over as the president in 2010. She was instrumental in saving it, but putting it back on a firm financial setting, and in fact initiating what I think is a really innovative program. So whereas in most cases museums are a facility that you go to and you see the exhibits there, they have reversed that model where they actually go to the people. They have traveling exhibits, which I think is really creative and innovative. So really an interesting way to see it continue. And it is continuing. She is still on the board of the museum, is still active with the museum, and it's thanks to her that we still can enjoy these wonderful collections.
I love hearing these stories. Okay, the final recipient of this award.
Right. The fifth award went to Mr. Bruce Tascona of Pilot Mound. Many people know that he has been extremely active in research searching the military history of Manitoba since the 1980s. So, for example, he was the founding president. He's the archivist librarian of the Military History Society of Manitoba. But in addition to that, he was the archivist for the Royal Winnipeg Rifles Museum, a director of the Legion House Museum, and was active, in fact, in developing a museum on his own property called the Manitoba World War I Museum, where they actually have, for example, trenches where you can sort of re-experience the trench warfare of the First World War. You know, and that's only a little bit. So, for example, he was instrumental in researching the history of Camp Hughes, one of the First World War training facilities west of Carberry. And in fact, he was responsible for having it designated as a provincial historic site in 2004 and as a national historic site in 2011. You know, he's written numerous books and pamphlets on military history, just a, you know, extremely active military historian.
Wonderful. Now, what did the five award recipients receive?
The Lieutenant Governor presents each of them with a certificate, and that's nice. And in the folder that the recipient receives the certificate in, there's also a picture of a very colorful tree. And the reason for that is that in addition to receiving the certificate, each recipient has a tree planted in their honor in their community. And this isn't just any old tree. It's what's called a Freeman maple. It's actually a hybrid between a red maple and a silver maple. And this particular one was bred by Jeffrey's Nurseries at Portage la Prairie. So they call it the Regal Celebration Maple. It has spectacular color in the fall. It's sort of yellows to oranges to reds. It's really a beautiful tree. And so for each one of the people who receives the award, later after the award presentation is made, they go and they plant a tree. And so many years from now, there will be this living reminder of the good work that these people did.
Such a great idea. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned at the beginning that there were 31 nominations this year, and yet only five recipients. So what happens to the unsuccessful nominations?
Many of them, of course, are wonderful in their own right. It's extremely difficult to winnow down this large collection down to five. And often you have to read between the lines, you know. And so what I often say to people is the more detail you can provide in the nomination, the better. So in some cases, you can see that there's very clear good work being done, but it just isn't as detailed as you need to have to be able to make these subtle distinctions. So I would encourage anyone who made a nomination this year that was unsuccessful to continue making it in the future, to submit it again, because I'm sure that many of the people who were not successful this year would be successful in the future. They're doing wonderful work and they should be acknowledged for it.
I really enjoyed hearing the kind of profiles of these individuals in Manitoba who are working so hard recording our history and making it known. So thank you, Gordon.
You're welcome, Nadja.
What's the tip for next week?
Well, next year in 2020, Manitoba is going to mark its 150th birthday. And the provincial government is presently seeking suggestions on how that birthday can be celebrated. And I suspect many of those suggestions will be for concerts and parties and, you know, other kind of, you know, short-lived festivities. Next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about what Manitoba did for its 100th anniversary in 1970 and share a few ideas on how we might mark the anniversary in a more permanent way.
Maybe plant some regal celebration maple trees?
Maybe.
Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.